In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We live in a world that God created to be other than the way it is. We ourselves are not as we were created to be. Today, we celebrate the Seventh Ecumenical Council, 787. And at that 8th century council, the veneration and having of icons was defended as essential on the grounds that God had become incarnate. The Old Testament law that you can't make an image of God was broken by God himself because he brought something new into the world. He brought into the world his own fulfilled image and likeness. Jesus, the Christ, is the incarnate Son of God. He is God himself. All of our humanity is filled in him, and he is also fully God. Light from light. Divine light from the light of the Father. The same light as the Holy Spirit. Jesus the Christ himself. The one who was there before the world was made, as we heard him say in his prayer today. The one who had glory with the one that he can call Father. God the Father of his only begotten Son, even before the world was created. The Word of God, the Son of God, was there with him and created the world along with him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they created this world. But not to be as it is. He comes into the world, the Son of God, born Jesus, the Christ, the one who has come to redeem and save the world, not just human beings, but the world that God created, the world of all creation, the world that isn't the way it was meant to be because of us, because of human beings, because we were central. We were created to be the center of God's creation, the ones through whom the spiritual capacity of the world that God had created for communion with him would be realized through us, through our humanity. And instead we turned toward the world, turned away from God, and tried to seek life from the world. And we brought death into the world because we sought life where there was no life. Rather than taking the stuff of the earth, the things of this world, and offering them up to God in thanksgiving, instead we turned away from God, and all creation groaned. And so creation is not as it was meant to be. And we are not as we were meant to be. And God came into the world in order to remedy that, in order to destroy the power of death, to keep us from returning to him and being, through his incarnate Son, through Jesus the Christ, all that we had created to be. And to restore the world so that the world can be as the world is meant to be in the end. That too is the task of Jesus the Christ. So when they said at the Seventh Ecumenical Council that we need to have icons, we need to be able to see that God became one of us, became fully human. And when we venerate the image and likeness of Christ, we are worshiping God. When we venerate the image and likeness of the saints, we are claiming that what God brought into the world by way of his Son is accomplished. That it is possible for us to be holy with God's own holiness. Our physical lives, our bodies. We can use them to leave behind our preference for and love of the world and repent of all of that. Turn around and move toward God, along with all of the others of all creation that are moving toward God because Christ has come into the world. God is at the center of His creation. And if this world is going to be what God created it to be, then it has to move toward Him. And that movement toward Him at the center is always through Christ. And all the saints, they did that in their lives. And we attest to the reality of the fact that they did that. In their bodies, during the course of their lives, they began an eternal life that does not end. And so, the affirmation of the importance of iconography is an affirmation of the fact that this world is being transfigured by God. It's being transformed by God. It's being saved by God. It's being restored by Him. So that we can see that human beings who were not as they were meant to be become as they were meant to be. And that's what the saints are. When we come to the Divine Liturgy, we say that we are entering into the kingdom of God, into that place where the saints worship God. Those who had been born not as they were meant to be, and during the course of their lives, they turned to the divine life of Jesus the Christ, the incarnate Son of God, and they were transformed. They were baptized into His life and left the life of this world behind and became all that God means for them to be in the kingdom of God. Now that's an eternal movement. We don't complete it during the course of our lives, although there have been saints that have come so close to God, even in this life, that for us they are a source of amazement. We can see Christ in them. We can see that they are Christ-bearing. But it's not just we who are meant to be Christ-bearing. It is not just we who are meant to be filled with Christ. How about the world of God's creation? We have certain attitudes in the modern world, in the 21st century, that are totally different from a traditional Christian understanding of the nature of the world. Oftentimes we hear about an argument, a battle, between secular humanists who believe in evolution, that the world simply evolved by chance and developed into being the way it is. God is not necessary. And on the other hand, there are those who take up the cause of defending the Christian faith, and they say, no, God created the world in the beginning in 7 days. We're the Orthodox in this. Well, some of us don't have a problem with the idea of evolution, and some of us feel that it's necessary to affirm that God created the world, and some of us, Orthodox, even say, in 7 days, let's be done with it. There are other things that are more important to deal with. Leave this to someone else. But there is something else. Something that doesn't seem to come up often. Recently, I was listening to an address by Bishop Callistos Ware. And he began by talking about the Divine Liturgy and all that it is. And he explained all of that to the people who were listening to him. And in his last brief address, he talked about going out into the world after the Divine Liturgy. Because here we are, surrounded by the iconographic presence of the saints, knowing that there is a way that the world is meant to be that is beyond the way we see the world around us. This physical world has the capacity to bear spiritual meaning. That's how God created it. We were meant to bring out that meaning and raise this world up to God. And we lost that. But we know that that capacity is in the world. God created the world in that kind of way. And when we are here at the Divine Liturgy, we remember and we can even see to a certain degree a reminder of the fact that the world is meant to be filled with the presence of Christ. That the world is meant to be filled with the presence of God. The saints have a role in that. But it's about the world that we live in too. And when we leave the Divine Liturgy, Bishop Callistos was saying, we go out into a world where our understanding of the meaning of life is completely absent. Someone asked Bishop Callistos, because he was talking about ecology and the importance of protecting the created world. God created the world, not for us to abuse and exploit, but for us to transform and transfigure and bring the spiritual capacity out of and offer it up to God. And we've had that capacity restored to us in Christ. But people were thinking about all of the interest in the environment and in what we now call the natural world. And someone asked Bishop Callistos, how about the danger of neo-paganism, new paganism, the worship of the natural world? Some of the environmentalists, it seems as though they come very close to wanting to say that nature and the natural world is holy, and we ought not to exploit it for the sake of jobs. And so there is that opposition. Where do the Orthodox fall in that controversy? And the answer to that question is the same as the answer to the question about where the center is between evolution and creationism, interestingly enough. Bishop Callistos explained that it's not enough to point out, as we still have work to do to let people know, but as we do try to do, that Orthodox Christianity, full and true and traditional Christianity, while it is not pantheistic, while we do not worship the world and believe that God and the world are the same thing, we are panentheistic. We believe that God is present in creation, in the world. And, he added, and I haven't often heard this added, God is in creation, and creation is in God. Now we know that God himself is beyond creation. He is not part of his creation. But in order for the world to live, it lives by his life. As God is in himself, in essence, he is beyond the world of creation. He is the uncreated. But his energies permeate all of the world. And if they stopped doing that, everything would be gone. It would return to nothingness. God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, and he sustains it through his divine energies. Yes, Genesis is right. God created the heavens and the earth and all of the things of the earth in 7 days, whatever 7 days mean. Let people argue about it. For many of us, it doesn't matter what a day is for God. But one thing that is important for us to realize is that we don't believe, as the atheist, deist, enlightenment philosophers of the 1700s believed, that God created the world like a great watch, the great architect. And when he was done, he was finished and he left it go. You know, you can believe that God created the world in 7 days and think just like that. God created the world in the beginning in 7 days. I believe that. I reject all of this other stuff. And then he was finished, and now it's ours. He gave it to us. We can do with it as we please. We reject that. This world is meant to be holy. This world has the capacity to bear spiritual meaning. Otherwise, there wouldn't be icons, because we are part of this created world. We are the ultimate part of this world that God created. But if the world that God created had no capacity to bear spiritual meaning, then how could we be a part of such a world? We who are created in the image and likeness of God. It's not just we who are meant to be bearers of the presence of Christ. All of creation is meant to be filled with the presence of God, filled with the presence of Christ. And you know, we reject the idea that this is just a physical, meaningless world that we live in, and the only thing that makes any difference in it is people, and we're going to be saved, but in the end, this whole world is just going to be thrown away and destroyed, and something completely different will happen. We reject that. We say God is going to save this world. He's going to transfigure this world. He saved all of these saints. He is saving us. He's not going to throw this world away. He's going to transfigure it. He's going to fulfill what was meant to be from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, a small place that was supposed to expand to include all of the world, and we dropped the ball. Well, that project, that divine project, will be completed by God. And Bishop Callisto said, we shouldn't just say that we are panentheists. We should say that we are also believers that this world should be panchristic. All of the things of this world should be filled with the presence of Christ because they were created by Him and their existence is sustained by the divine energies of God Himself. It's not just meaningless stuff out there. Things grow because God is in them. There was a French philosopher at the beginning of the 20th century, Henri Bergson, who talked about the élan vital, life vitality, that has got to be in the world, otherwise nothing would grow. Things wouldn't produce as they do. When the spring comes and things just shoot out of the ground, why do they do that? It's because of the presence of the divine energies in this world that God created. This is meant to be a holy world. This is a world that means to be a holy world. And we need to treat it appropriately. And so Bishop Callisto's point was that our orthodox approach to ecology, and he cited the Patriarch of Constantinople, of course, who has provided such a good example. They call him the Green Patriarch. He likes being called the Green Patriarch. He collects great scientists, first great scientists, in the spring and the summer, and puts them on cruises to talk to one another about the problems of ecology. And when he's doing that, he's doing it from an orthodox perspective on the importance and meaning of what people call the natural world. So not just panentheist, but believe that the world is meant to be panchristic, and that there is something that means to be holy in the world, and that our task remains, because it's been restored to us, to take the things of the world and bring the spiritual meaning and significance out of them. We don't have a blank check to just exploit a dead world that God has given us. Yes, there is the presence of sin and suffering and death in it. It's not a perfect world. People die in this world. There are natural disasters. Just as we are not as we are meant to be, this world is not as it's meant to be either. You hear people talking about, why did God do this? Why did God do that? They're assuming this is normal. This is not a normal world. We are not normal as we are. It's all meant to be saved. It's all meant to be transformed. It's all meant to be transfigured. And so whatever ecological efforts we go forth from the divine liturgy to involve ourselves in need to take into account the fact that that is the kind of world that we live in, that those are the kinds of beings that we are, and that this world is meant to be an icon of the kingdom. This place where we worship is an icon of the kingdom, an image of the kingdom, a likeness of the kingdom. But we enter into it. We enter into the one who is the image and likeness of God, Christ Himself, and the result is all of the human holy life that we see around us. We are part of that. And that is meant to go out and encompass the whole of the universe. That's our ecological perspective. Our spiritual lives are so much broader than we generally think about them being when we focus on ourselves and apply everything that we hear during the liturgy and everything that we read in Scripture simply to our own individual, isolated lives, separated from others, separated from the world. If that's how it is, then we are separated from God. It's important for us to expand our understanding of what it means to be a Christian in a world that God intends to transform and transfigure and make into the fullness of paradise at the end of time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.